thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
God bless the man who sows the wheat, who gives his milk, fruit and meat. May his purse be heavy, but his heart stay light, that his cattle and crops might grow upright. God bless the seed his hands let fall. For the farmer, he must feed us all. And friends, we never ever take for granted where our bread comes from. We never ever take it for granted where you get your morning cereals either. All comes from the ground. God and his wonderful grace and his mercy has given us food and food abundance. God bless the man who sows the wheat. See, the farmer, he works by the acre. He doesn't work by the hour. That's what makes the difference. That's why they're never stopped. That's why any young girls who are going to marry a farmer, make sure you marry a big one, because you'll be half-kilt every other day, I'll tell you. But you see, when I was walking through that field of wheat there one day, it's 20 acres, just in a wee place called Luke's Farm. And that's why I choose that wee verse from Luke chapter 4, verse 4. I was walking through that wheat, you know, and I started to think of a lot of years ago, we called certain fields just by their name. Like, we still have a wheat field, like it's Jock Graham's farm, but it's the wheat field. After about 50 odd years, it's still called the wheat field. And sometimes I can still remember, I can remember driving this wee tractor, but the first real powerful tractor that we got was in the 70s. Now, a wee model of it here. It was one of these Fords. It was a 7,600 Ford. That's a wee 7,000 Ford. And all the old folk, now I'm one of them, all the old people said, that tractor will never stick it because it's got a turbocharger on it. No engine will stick a turbocharger. It'll just blow up. And at that time, farmers were wanting more power. The silage equipment was getting heavier and the ploughs were getting bigger and they needed more power. So Ford put a turbocharger on this tractor here. And I still remember the day we got one of them. It's the time when my brother and myself sort of took over from my dad. And we had this first new tractor. Come on, that was some job. She was £7,600 now. We paid out her for about 10 years at the time. And I had got dual power, and it was a turbocharged tractor. And this wheat field, I can remember cutting silage on this wheat field, still called the wheat field. And it was the first time that I really heard the turbo coming in, where this extra power was coming from. Whenever the tractors began to get laboured a bit, you could hear the whistle. And you could feel the turbo just digging in. Some of your cars will have turbochargers now, you'll not even hear them. But in those days, you'd have heard the turbocharger just coming on with full power. And friends, my lovely people here in Ballymoney Elam, if we ever needed the turbo power of Christ himself and the power of the Holy Spirit, it's now. When we're living in a world that is dead, we're going to live in a world that's in fear at the minute. Fear from this virus, fear from everything. But God's people, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And how John chapter 10, verse 10, how the thief wants to come and destroy. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, I have come to give you life. To give you life, my friends, and to give it to you more abundantly. Our God is a gracious God. And he knows all about the viruses. He knows all about all things. But friends, it's wonderful how the gospel has been spread through all this, through online in different ways and different means. People who would never come in a church door are now switching on and listening to you, to your services. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And how that thief wants to come and to seek and destroy. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. We need the terrible power of the Holy Spirit. We need that power realising us every single day. Every morning when we're waking up, say, Lord, give me more, Father. Father, I want more today than I had yesterday. Our God's a great God. He's a gracious God. And he's a mighty God. And I want to take you a wee journey just up around that part of the world. Because I want to take you to another field. And we call it the 9 acre. Come on. You can't be more simple than that. I want to take you to the 9 acre, and I'm going to read a wee passage to you. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. And this is my wonderful black and white scripture. You see, when you're not college trained or anything else, and you're only a farmer running about in the milking parlour, and you think about things in the parlour, and I'll show you a wee bit of the parlour in a minute. I have it in the box here, by the way. I'm going to read this scripture to you, and then I'm going to show you my milking equipment in the box, and then I'm going to take you to this field. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, and filling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are, this lovely group of people here, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And you know, friends, when you're working in a milking parlour, and you do this for over 54 years, when you have this bit of equipment, this is your uniform. Some of you girls maybe were nurses or your teachers or whatever you're going to be, or some of the men maybe have a wee hard hats on, or whatever your job is. This was my uniform for almost 55 years. Come on. Are you sad for me, aren't you? And one day I was over in Scotland, and we were visiting a wee cafe place coming down out of Ayr, and it was called the Coo Shed. And this wee cafe, we came in through the door, and this was the chandeliers hanging up all over the place. And I thought, what a job, hey. And I thought, I must get myself a set of chandeliers like that there. It's wonderful you get on Amazon, isn't it? But you know, I looked at that, and there are a lot of town sort of people all around me in this Coo Shed, and I spoke out a bit loud, and it just says, you know, I've milked cows for 55 years until I saw the light. I couldn't get it. And then I thought of that lovely verse, and the Lord says, but in John 8:12, and the Lord says, but George, and you, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, I better get these bulbs out, or they'll be, in case anybody's going to get a fit. All you lovely people in Zoom, I don't want to knock yous out completely. But friends, it's wonderful when you're in the parlour and you have time to think, and you're doing sort of jobs. Some of you ladies will know that, maybe in the house or whatever, and the men too, as you're washing the dishes. You can see my fingers, like, you know, fairy liquid's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Just, my wife's laughing at me. But you have time to think. You have time to ponder. And one day in the parlour, I was pondering this great field, the 9 acre. Because the following day I was going out to plough it, you see. And I'd never been ploughed for a lifetime, certainly never with me anyway. And I thought, I wonder what I'm going to face the next day. You think about these things when you're in the parlour. So I got the tractor the next morning, and I got the plough on, and I went down to the 9 acre. And I started ploughing at the very start of it, and I realised the soil was black bog, just black moss. The odd bit of fur coming up. And I thought of Ephesians chapter 2 at the time, that how we're all born dead, how we're all born in the miry clay, how we're all born black in sin. But then the Bible said, and you, and I was talking to myself, and you hath he quickened who were dead. Now, people don't like to be called that they're dead. They don't like it. You know, I mean, you can tell anybody, oh, you're a sinner, you're bad, you're doing this, but that's all right. But when you tell somebody, maybe on the street, and you're chatting to somebody, and say, well, the best way I can explain this to you really is that you're spiritually dead. They don't like to be called that you're dead. And you, my lovely people here, I've got to slow down. And you hath he quickened who were dead at one time. And he hath quickened, was put in with, by the translators. And the original, it says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sin. When I started ploughing this 9 acre, and we started snoring through it, no stones, just a wee bit of fur come up, but black bog, I thought of this first verse in Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. I'm very fond of the mosses. If a moss out our back, and you see some wee bits of film from the moss, the very first day I got my old Freelander, I bought this car for £500. Now, I'm from Ballymena. We do not spend money foolishly. We think about these things seriously before we would speculate on anything. And I got this Freelander on Gumtree for £500. The greatest oil wagon ever on four wheels. But I thought I'm going to take this car down to the moss to try it out now. Four-wheel drive, and there's a wee yellow button, you can hit it, and it seems to lock all the wheels up, and some wheels are nodding. I stuck immediately. I just disappeared in the moss. And then I had to walk home for a tractor to pull me out. And I thought of Psalm 40 on the way up to get my brother to come and tow me out. He waited patiently upon the Lord. He inclined unto me and he heard me cry. He lifted me up out of the horrible pit. He lifted us up out of the miry clay. And how he's set now our feet upon a rock, my friends. And now how he's given us a firm place to stand. And I couldn't get a firm place in the moss that day. And he's put a firm place to stand. And he's put a new song. A new song. We've heard it here already. And we're going to hear it in a minute. He's put a new song in our mouth. A hymn of praise to our God. And there's the next bit in Psalm 40. I love it. As I was walking up to get the hold of my brother, many shall see it. Come on here. Many shall see it. Many shall see it and fear and shall put their trust in the Lord. You young people, you know when you're at school and you get somebody, maybe a hard puzzle or something, and you realise you can see it for the first time. And never happened to me an awful lot, and I have to be quite honest at school. I still don't see very much about when it comes to that sort of stuff, but you know what it's like, maybe you're working a wee puzzle out or something, and all of a sudden you say, I can see it. And that's what God says from his word. He says, many shall see it and fear and shall put their trust in the Lord. You know, friends, when it's moving on, out of this black bog, this is all one field now. All of a sudden the soil changed. All of a sudden it was clay. It was sort of white clay. The sort of soil you would see down like Limda Valley, down that McGilligan area. It's a different type of soil. It dries up very quickly. And all of a sudden in this same field, one minute was bog, and the next minute it was white clay. But it still turned over, no stones nor nothing, and the plough just snored through it. And what happened years ago, some of the time they cleaned the river out, I think that they took some of the topsoil off and they left this clay, and the plough just snored through it. Then I started to think of Ephesians 2 when you get down to verse 4. But God in his great mercy, who hath he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, he hath quickened us. But God, there's so much of man today. What man can do nothing, friends. Man cannot even create an anxious thought. And you know, by the time I was snoring through this white clay, I thought, I wonder how long this is going to last. There are no stones. I wouldn't be much of a ploughman. Now, like, it's just like two crows scraping, really. You know, I went to the world championships or anything else, but I was quite happy that the soil was being turned over. One minute it was bog, the next minute this lovely white clay, and it was turning over lovely. And then I kept going. Kept on going down to the next bit, and I wonder what was going to happen next, because I realised there'd been another field made at one time many, many years ago, and all of a sudden, I came into this dark, rich, red soil. It was almost beside the river by this stage, and it's obviously the river over the years had been flooding, and all the nutrients coming out of the river, and was gradually, over the generations, the soil was rich and loamy. We would have called it a home when the early days. That's where the cows and the bullocks would have lay. The Lord would lay at the home. It was a place where the richest grass was. And all of a sudden, from the black bog to the white clay, and now to this beautiful, rich, red soil. And I thought of that lovely verse in Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And by that time, my friends, I was at the river. And I could see the water flowing through the rocks, and I could see through where it had been carved over the years with the water, just carving and cut its own pad out. And it took me in my mind just to Ephesians 2:10 then, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath performed, that we should walk in them. That how you lovely people here, as a part of this fellowship, that God by his sovereign grace, first of all, has brought you here in the first place. And he's shaping you, and he's moulding you, step by step, and bit by bit. He's carving you out. He's changing you. He's making you new. That's what it is to be a child of God, you see. That's what it is to be quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit in the first place. You're quickened to your sin in the first place. You realise your sin. Friends, that's the greatest day in your life, when you begin to understand that you are dead spiritually speaking. That you are separate from God totally because of your sin. That is the greatest day. I still remember it. In the wee Cadie Mission Hall, I was only 13 at the time, when the Lord, by his sovereign grace, brought me under conviction of sin in the first place. To realise that I am separated from God, that I was totally separated from God. But God had a plan. He had a purpose. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And the word of God tells me through his word that he's got a plan. As many as received him, to them give you the power to become sons of God. What a day it is to come under conviction of sin. What a day it is. That's a mighty day. That's a day like no other day, that the God of the universe is speaking to you personally. He's whispering in your ear. He's not speaking to the person beside you, maybe. He's speaking to you. Friends, I look back on that day with such thankfulness at 13. Such a blessing. And as I share with young people in different places, I say, look, that is the greatest day in your life, when God begins to whisper in your ear. Do you know that God is calling you step by step, and he's showing you your sin in the first place? He's giving you a glimpse of the cross and what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us at the cross at Calvary. He showed you, he lets you see it step by step. Sometimes some of the churches, and I'm not sure whether it's here or not, I'm sure you're marking names down, you're certainly your seats reserved and things like that, you know. And I was thinking the other day, you know, I mean, friends, isn't it great to have our seat reserved in heaven, isn't it? You know that wonderful 1 Peter, oh, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his abundant mercy he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, the next bit. And into an inheritance. Come on, friends. Into an inheritance that's incorruptible, it's undefiled, that will never fade away. Come on, what's the next bit? Reserved. I know you're reserved. Your seats are reserved here. But what about their seat being reserved up there? And another level of life completely reserved in heaven for you. Friends, what it is to be a child of God. Mighty to be his child. Do you know that you're under his plans and under his purposes? Do you know that you're under his control? That every door, you young people, God will open the door for you. God will close the door for you. God will find you a mate or whatever. You just leave it in the hands of God. God's already his best intentions for you if you're his child. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings like eagles. When I was coming down the motorway there, there's two crows. Everywhere I go, there seem to be two crows. I was driving the other night in Ballymena, and there are two crows sat and watched me all night. But here, coming up that motorway, there's two crows on the bridge, just one left and one right, and I thought they must be counting the traffic and passed. But it always reminds me of a lovely wee story that I'm sure some of you know, that an eagle, when it's flying about, will tolerate a crow. And sometimes out in America, in these places, the crows would sail on the top of the eagles for a bit. The eagle never bothers, just couldn't care less. Because you see, as the eagle rises up, the crow can't stand. They can't stand the atmosphere, so the old crow just falls off. And we need to decide in this generation, you young people, are you going to ride with the crows or are you going to ride with the eagles? I don't know about you, but I want to be an eagle. I want to rise above this world and the things of this world. I'm not interested in the media and the rubbish that we've been fed with. There's only one truth. And it's in this book, my friends. And the world wants to feed you. And if you listen to the world long enough, it'll send you to hell. That's the reality. But we've got the good news. And if God's people in this present time haven't got the good news, then you should be shouting more about it. Because we have the answer. We've got the answer. And if by God's sovereign grace we've got the answer, those are rise up like wings, like eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. Friends, that's the good news of the gospel. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for us in the first place. He didn't die for us to be our grumpy faces and look at a lot of prunes that you used to look at a wee years ago when the mother made you feed them into us. He wants you to be alive. And praise God, this fellowship of God at high. And never ever lose it. Never lose it. Religion can take it away from you. Religion will keep you in bondage. If I get one message in the last while, I'll tell you it's that one. People are beginning to be set free. And they're tuning into other places. And God is feeding them through the online or whatever. See, there's more. My lovely people, there's more. That lovely hymn, I'm finished, I'm pressing on. I was singing about it again this morning. I've quoted it a dozen times in the last fortnight. The younger generation will not know maybe this older hymn, but there's a lot of truth in it. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, O Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay. In this world we're talking about, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fear dismay. Though some, our neighbours, our families maybe even, though some may dwell where these abound. But my prayer, my aim, your prayer in Ballymoneyilim, your prayer and your aim is higher ground. May God bless you all this morning. God bless the man who sows the wheat. We thank God for the harvest. We thank God when we see the silage been brought in and the harvest been brought in. God bless the man that sows the wheat, who gives us milk, fruit and meat. Yes, may his purse be heavy in a good way, but more importantly, may his heart stay light, that his cattle and crops might grow upright. God bless the seed his hands let fall for the farmer. He must feed us all. We thank God for the farmer. We thank God for the provision of harvest. But more than that, a billion times over, we thank God for his precious word. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. May God bless you all this morning, Pastor. God bless. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyilim.com.